Blog Talk Radio.
The healer that makes all things new. We just give God praise this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord God, we rejoice and are glad in it. Lord God, we are thankful. We are blessed. We are thankful, grateful, and blessed this morning to be awakened and to be with you. Father God, I thank you for this love month, and I thank you, Lord, for being able to have Bible study before I have Bible study. Hallelujah. As they say, Bible study on Bible study. You can't have enough Bible. Hallelujah. And shout out to Morning Glory Nation. If you are not a member, come on over to Instagram and Facebook and join the movement. Hallelujah. And today on MGN, we were studying John, 1 John chapter 4, the love chapter. And today, the word that God gave me was, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. Hallelujah. Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. Not my side, not your side, but God's side. That's where we need to be, on God's side. So many times we want to pick sides, you know, this group versus that group, this ethnicity versus that ethnicity, this political party versus that political party. None of that makes any difference if you're not on the Lord's side. Who is on the Lord's side this morning? Are you on the Lord's side? Or are you doing you or doing your own thing? I choose God. I choose love. I choose hope in a future. Because we all know that, read the word, that a house divided against itself shall not and will not stand. We want to stand as a nation for a lot more years. Hallelujah. And so what do we have to do? We have to love and be on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for this great word this morning. Who's on the Lord's side? I think that's what Pastor Wright wrote in the song. Who's on the Lord's side? I'm on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. I choose life today. I choose hope today. I choose love today. Hallelujah, because we know faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Hallelujah. So thank you so much, family, for coming in this morning. Let's get in our words. Let's go into prayer, because we know that what prayer changes. God in heaven, we come to you this morning lifting up the name of Jesus, knowing that there is none like you, Father, none like you. You love us. You care about us. You take us to deeper depths and higher heights. You love us, oh God, and we can do nothing more than say thank you, Lord, for a do-over. Thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for putting a word in my spirit. Thank you, Lord, for just being who you are, a gracious and mighty God. Lord God, I ask you to watch over, again, continuously watch over my pastor, Lord God, and her family as they go through bereavement over the loss of a great man of God, as we go through bereavement, losing our church father, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for just being who you are, a great and mighty God, who love Pastor Paul Moore. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for celebration and not sadness. When we cry for joy, knowing that absent from the body is in the presence of you, Father God. Not only do we celebrate, but we are confident that Pastor Paul is with you, Lord God, that he sleeps with angels, oh God, that he is with you, because your word says so, and we stand on your word this morning as we read your word. Lord God, I lift up this word today, asking you, Father, as always, to increase as I decrease. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. You, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. Ooh, hallelujah, Lord. I thank you this morning for Jesus, my Savior, for saving a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Savior, for saving me. Hallelujah. And it's in the name of the matchless Holy Savior, ooh, the Lamb of God, who was sacrificed for us all, that took our sins to the cross, to the grave, and got back up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for getting back up and transcending, setting on the right hand of the Father, interceding every minute, hour, second for all of us. In your name, I pray this prayer, asking that this word touch hearts, minds, and spirits. In your name, amen, amen. Giving a shout out to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all I can say this morning is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I went with my daughter and grandchildren last night to pick up my oldest grandchild, who was in for Pastor Paul's funeral. As I said before, it was the children. Pastor Paul took care of our children, and our children are coming in droves to be here to celebrate Pastor Paul. Children from not just our church, but from other churches that he was helping, that he picked up in the church van, that he took home, that he, you know, if they needed, mom needed this fixed, or dad needed that done, it was Pastor Paul that the kids would say, call Pastor Paul. He can do everything. When my grandson first met Pastor Paul at church, you know, he had been learning from us that Jesus is with you everywhere you go, and he's in the church. He's in God's house, and he's always there to help you. And so he was only like about he's four now, about to turn five. But to him, he equated Jesus with Pastor Paul, because he had seen Pastor Paul fixing stuff. Pastor Paul, you know, telling the children that he loved him. Pastor Paul, you know, just being in the church doing stuff. He equated, because we told him that Jesus was a carpenter, and he saw Pastor Paul doing carpentry work. And, we, you know, all these different little things that we had told him about Jesus, and that Jesus was humble, and that Jesus was loving, and that Jesus, you know, made you laugh, and that he picked you up and would tell you that he loved you. And so he looked at Pastor Paul one day, and he said, I said, well, who is that? Because I thought he was going to say Pastor Paul, because that's what he had heard of. He said, that's Jesus. And it just made me, it touched my heart, because to his small mind, all the things that I had told him that Jesus does in the church and for us, he saw Pastor Paul doing. So I just tell you, our children see more than we do. My baby saw the Jesus in Pastor Paul. So I just had to say that, you know, lifting up Jesus and asking you to continue to pray for my pastor and their family. And, you know, pray for us. And I told my sons, I said, I didn't cry from sadness. I cried from joy to know that another saint has transitioned to be with the Father. So thanking God again and getting into this word today. We're going to, you know, start getting into quite a bit of Exodus this morning. And, you know, God talking to Moses. Because let's just call it straight. The children of Israel started losing their doggone mind. You know, Moses was gone for 40 days and 40 nights because he was getting instruction from God on how to build a temple, on the commandments, on laws and statutes. And God had written out with his own finger the commandments on the tablet. And Moses was getting everything, how to build the Ark of the Covenant so that they would be able to put, you know, all these things in it. Everything we've just read was God's instruction to Moses. And now Moses is getting ready to go back down to give these instructions to the children of Israel. But understand now, Aaron was put in charge. Aaron was put in charge. And we know that Aaron was a little weak when it came to some stuff. And being in charge without Moses there to give him instruction, he wasn't doing such a good job. So let's see what's going on in this word this morning. So please join me in Exodus chapter 31 and chapter 32, verse 35. And all I can say is it is a great word this morning. Woo, it's a great word. Are you on God's side today? Hallelujah. And this is what it says. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, and the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in a carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I have appointed with him Aholab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, and the garment of his sons to minister as priests, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you, they shall do. When God calls you to it, he's already given you the help to do what needs to be done. Talk about God. Come on, y'all. Give God a hallelujah clap. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. God will equip you to do what he needs you to do. And he is equipping the artisans to do what he needs them to do to build his house. This is house that can go from place to place. Come on now. Not a building, but a work of art that can travel. Traveling for 40 years. Come on now. And it goes on to tell us, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Hallelujah. That you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord, Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. But in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone. Can y'all catch this? Written with the finger of God. Can I say that again? Can I say it again? And when he had made an end of speaking with them on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Not written by Moses, not chiseled by Aaron, but written by the finger of God. When we go to Exodus chapter 20, everything that God said, he wrote it. He wrote it with the finger of God for Moses to take back down the mountain. Come on now. Hallelujah. Those commandments were written by the finger of God for all of us. When you go to Exodus chapter 20, that's, you need to study it and meditate on it, that you live the way you should live and do what God says do. Hallelujah. We are here for a purpose and a reason. God has given us everything we need and more than we could ever ask for. Hallelujah. All you got to do is say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Commandments for your statute, for your laws, because every last one is something to keep you in a way of survival. If we follow God's edits and his rules and his laws, I tell you, society would be better. Loving each other, because the Lord has already told you, how can you say you love God who you have never seen, but hate your brother who you have seen? We better understand God is love, but God don't play. Let's keep it moving, because I told y'all it was a great word this morning, because God is speaking and he is getting Moses prepared to lead a stiff-necked, hateful group of folks, because these people don't understand who they belong to. They are all about, it's all about me. No, it's not. It's about Jesus. But let's keep it moving. And it goes on to say, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods, them little G's, there they come again, that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off. Now, no, he didn't say wait. He didn't say Moses is coming back. He didn't say Moses is with the Lord. He didn't say be patient. He didn't say gonna be all right. We just gonna wait on the Lord. Let's fast. Let's pray. Let's get into the presence of God. Did he say that? Come on now. Did he say it? No. Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings with which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. What was the first commandment God gave them? Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20. What was the first word? What did God first speak to these hateful, hard-hearted folks? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandment. And what was his commandment? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other little g's gods before me. And what did they do? Thou shalt not, what did he say, make any graven images. And I do believe that a calf is an image of something that is on the earth, right? And what did he say? And then, wait a minute, they see it. This is your God. Little g. Oh, Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. A golden calf did not bring them out of the land of Egypt. A golden calf did not open the Red Sea. A golden calf, come on now, speak. Come on, y'all, go with me here. A golden calf did not drown Pharaoh's army. Come on now. And so when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Then they arose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Why did they complain about the manna from heaven? Why did they complain about the quail from God? Why did they complain about water? Why did they complain about everything else? But this golden calf up early to drink and celebrate. Woo, Jesus. Let's keep it moving because God is starting to have a moment. And it said, and the Lord said to Moses, go down, go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed it and said, this is your God. O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. I will make of you a great nation. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. Moses standing in the gap again for the children of Israel. Moses going to God again for the children of Israel. Let's keep it moving. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides, on the one side and on the other. They were written. Now the tablets were the work of God. Again, the tablets were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets, because we already know what it is say. By the finger of God, it was written, wasn't it? Told y'all it was a great word this morning. I'm all filled up. Woo, Jesus. And when Joshua, that's my guy. Y'all know I got a Joshua love thing. And it says, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it is not the noise of a shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. So it was as soon as he came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets on out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in fire, and ground it to powder. And he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people that they are set on evil. Wait, hold on. Is that the same Aaron that said, break off the golden earrings that are in your ears and in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me? Isn't that the Aaron that's telling this story? Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't me. It wasn't me that ate those Cheetos. It wasn't me that was cheating on my wife. It wasn't me that was doing stuff I wasn't supposed to be doing. And that song, it wasn't me. That's kind of what Aaron is saying right now. It wasn't me. Moses, I was trying, to keep these people together, but they just evil. They just set on evil. Now let's keep going. So wait a minute. But they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it up. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. It wasn't me. They wanted me to make little gods, so I just made this calf, because you know. And you the high priest, you the one that's going to go into the Holy of Holies to be in the presence of God, to minister with God. Come on now. Now, when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. Hallelujah. I'm going with Moses, y'all. I'm going with Moses, y'all. I'm going to be on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. What did he say? One more time. Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did unto the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day. For every man has opposed his son and his brother. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, you have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now, therefore, go lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit for punishment, I will visit punishment upon them for their sin. So the Lord plagued the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron made. Wow. Nobody can go to heaven or to hell for you. God will judge each of us for our sin, not for the sin of our children, not for the sin of our brothers, not for the sins of our mothers or fathers, our sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Nobody's going to hell for you either. Only you can do it because of your sin. God is speaking to us today. Who's on the Lord's side? Come on now. Exodus 31:18, life lessons today. And it says, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of a stone written with the finger of God. Since God does not want his people to wonder what he has said, he has committed his words to written form. We can depend upon what word, no matter, on that word, no matter what happens around us. We can depend on God's word, written by the finger of God. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And as we go to a life lesson from Exodus chapter 31, verse 18, how God speaks to us. Through the years, God has used a variety of ways to speak to his people. He spoke directly with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, meeting them in the cool of the day, Genesis 3 and 8. We read that. After God expelled the disobedient pair from the garden, he turned to other forms of communication. These forms have included direct revelation, dreams and visions, the words of prophets, and others today. God's primary thought, not only form of communications with his people in the written word, the Bible. God has given us through the Bible written revelations. We read in Exodus 31 and 18, when he had made an end of speaking with him, Moses, on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. God has always placed great value on the written word. In fact, the Hebrew people were among the first on earth to have an alphabet that allowed them to record documents. The reading of the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, have remained a mainstay in synagogue services through the centuries. The early church received God's counsel through both spoken and written means. The gospel accounts document the life and words of Jesus, while much of the rest of the New Testament consists of letters from the apostles to various groups of believers. Behind the written word of God always stands inspiration of God. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good works. Hallelujah. The psalmist acknowledged the importance of knowing and obeying the word of God when he spoke, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalms 119, verse 105. The written word as a weapon to be used in spiritual battle. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6 and 7. We know we got to put on the full armor every day. God's word really is an immovable anchor in times of storms. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for holding us down through the storms. Exodus chapter 32, verse 13. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self. Powerful prayer finds its support in the promises of God. When we base our prayers on what God has pledged himself to do, we stand on unshakable ground. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as we continue in Exodus 32 and 34, I will visit punishment upon them for what? Their sin. God will visit punishment on each of us for our sins. We are not being punished. We are not being judged for the sins of others, but for our sins. And they said, God forgives sin and wickedness when we repent, come on now, and come to him in faith. But he does not always prevent us from experiencing the consequences of our wicked behavior. We will suffer the consequences of our wicked behavior. That's why you got to say, Lord, forgive me. You got to repent of whatever it is that you have done, because God will show you yourself. And sometimes when we see ourselves, it is not pretty. Come on now. And even when it is pretty, it's ugly underneath. God sees everything. Psalms 21, 1 through 7. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips, Selah. For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you have placed upon him, for you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence, for the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Hallelujah. And a life lesson from Dr. Stanley for Psalm chapter 21, verse 6. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. God invites us to ask him for things, but even the things he gives us will never make us happy. Only his presence can do that. The deepest delights are found only in him, not in any of his gifts. Can I say hallelujah? Thank you, Lord, for this great gift of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your presence this morning. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but I'm filled up this morning. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her path. And we're talking about that adulterous, wretched woman. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. And we talking, when we say that wretched woman, we're talking about that adulterous spirit, we're talking about sin. God is telling us to sin. Don't hang out with sin. Don't listen to sin. Pay attention to the words of my mouth, God is telling us. Do not let your heart turn aside to sin, to the ways of sin. Do not stray into the path, for sin has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by sin were strong men and women. Sin's house is the way to hell. Come on now. Sin is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. We talking about sin. Thank you, Lord, for that revelation. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Come on now. It says, and when the Son of Man comes in his glory, Jesus is speaking this morning, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will get the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I am hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Hallelujah. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to me, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Hallelujah. This scripture is my oldest son's favorite scripture. And I tell you this, the Lord God wants us to treat each other as if we're talking and treating him. What you do to the least among us, you do to the Father. If you're talking about each other, if you're vilifying, if you're saying hurtful, harmful things, it's to the Lord. And I love this word. You know, we always hear, oh, he's a GOAT, the greatest of all time. Excuse me. What did he say that's going to happen to the goats? The goats are going on the left side, right? The greatest of all time. Come on now. Will not be the greatest of all times when Jesus comes. I'll be a sheep, thank you very much, for the Lord. Because I want to be with the Lamb of God. I want to be a part of my shepherd's herd. Come on now. Excuse me. All the greatest of all times can go to hell. Because that's where it looks like they're headed. So we better stop saying stuff, oh, he's a goat. Don't even use that term about anybody. Because when you put it in biblical context, that's not a good thing to be a goat. It's not a good thing at all. Because they was great at all times in life, but they'll be in hell, in death. So we want to watch that saying stuff like that, because you could be speaking death over somebody, calling them a goat. But be careful. Put it in the biblical context when you speak about folks, and then you will be careful what you say. Matthew 25:34, come, you blessed are my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Just as Jesus is a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8, so has the coming kingdom been prepared for God's people from the foundation of the world. His plan is as ancient as it is sure. Hallelujah. Matthew 25:46, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. What we do with the good news of Jesus has enormous consequences. The punishment of those who reject Jesus is just as eternal as the reward of those who serve him. Hallelujah. Serve the Lord with gladness. Are you on the Lord's side? Come to me. Hallelujah. We got to be on the Lord's side today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whoo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me, says Moses. Are you on the side of the goats? Are you on the side of the lamb? Are you on the Lord's side today? Just something to think about. And that is our word for this morning. And all I can say is it has been a great word. Whew. I feel like I've run a race. That word has been so rich and good. If there's anybody that God is putting your heart to speak, then push the number 1 on your phone or call 213-943-3597, and your line will be open. But it has been a great word this morning. Whoa, I just feel like the in the emojis, the red lady, I just feel like the red lady running with the hands held high, just shouting, because it has been a word from God. Whoever is on the side, the Lord's side, come to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this mighty word this morning. And before we get out of here, family, a word from Carolyn's gift this morning. And our word for today is this. Good morning. God will take what the enemy meant for bad and make it for your good. Have a thankful Thursday, family. Thank God this day for that he has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For God has given us an opportunity to be on his side. Hallelujah. And we have Evangelist Teresa on the line this morning. Good morning, my sister in Christ. How are you today?
Oh, all is well. Hallelujah. Yes, God says, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. We must run the good fight of faith and know that we know that we know in our hearts and in our souls that we're running the race for Jesus Christ. Mm. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. What a word today. Yeah. And we just say together, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over each and every one of you. And I'm going to ask you, Evangelist, to pray us out this morning, because it's a wrap. I've given all that God has given me to give, and we're going to ask Evangelist Teresa to pray us out this morning. And I say one more time, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me, says Moses and says Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you on the side of the goat or are you on the side of the lamb? With the sheep, for the shepherd is guiding us in with our righteousness. Let's be righteous unto the Lord today. Who's on the Lord's side? Hallelujah. Lord, I want to be on your side. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Evangelist, would you please pray us out?
Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, cleanse us first of all, Lord God, from anything that is unlike you. Oh, Father God, I ask you, Lord God, to bless each and every person who is listening to your word today, Father God. Lord, comfort Pastor Jesse, Father God, Mother Holly, Lord God, and each and every person of the table of life, God. Give us your strength, Father God. Continue to keep us covered by your hedge of angels, Father God, where no harm or danger can come upon us. No accidents, Lord. Oh, Father God, and keep us from the hitchhiking spirits, Father. We thank thee, Father God. Lord, I ask you, Lord God, to bless. Let us run to the Lamb's side. Give up the goat, for you, God, are the mighty Lamb of God that was slain for us, Father God. Keep us and direct us in your way today, Father God. Lord God, and each and every person traveling, Lord God, give them traveling mercy and grace, Lord God. Keep their vehicles and everything they do surrounded by your guardian angels. Father God, we praise and thank you, Lord God, for teaching us your way, your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much, Evangelist. And as we say every day, it is a wrap. Why is it a wrap? Because we are always here, available, presently praying for each and every one of you, because we are on the Lord's side and we are his children. And
Amen.
He loves us like that. We love him.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you, Father, for giving us your son. We want to be on your side. In Jesus' name, thank you all. Be blessed. It is a wrap. because we are always praying for you. Love you, Mother Rita. Love you, Mother Jen. Love you, Mother Valerie. All of you. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. And please continue, yes, family, lifting up Pastor Jesse and Pastor Paul's family as they go through bereavement, but celebrate in joy that God has called another one of his children home. Thank you all, family. Be blessed. It is a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work. Love you. Be blessed. It's a wrap.